Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the six things you need to consider when choosing your wedding venue. Securing your wedding venue or venues is often the first major step for couples after getting engaged, and it can definitely be an overwhelming one. So let's get into the top six things you need to consider and chat about during your search for the perfect wedding location. Number one, of course, budget. Two, availability. Three, style and size. Four, the location. Five, pricing. And six, timing. The first detail shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Talking about the budget is obviously very important. This should absolutely be the first thing that you discuss while making your wedding plans. If you haven't listened to any of the budget-focused episodes of this podcast, I will link them in the show notes. Make sure you go back and check them out before moving forward with any venue tours. I know it is so tempting to start making appointments to visit potential venues right away, but I highly recommend getting a good grasp on your budget first. It's unfortunately very common for couples to jump into venue tours first, falling in love with the space before understanding their numbers. This means they either commit to it before they know what their big picture wedding budget is, or they discover that the venue they just fell in love with is out of their price range. If that's the case, they will have to settle for another location that may have given them the same happy vibes if they hadn't seen that dream location first. I'll get into some specifics on other financial details to consider later on in the podcast, but in general, the biggest piece of advice I can give couples is to find a venue within your budget and do not plan your budget around your venue. All right, number two is a pretty straightforward one. Availability of a space can be a big deciding point for many couples. For some, they find the perfect venue and schedule their date around the availability. For others, a specific date is more important, and they'll only search for venues with that date open. It's very much a personal decision, and there's no right or wrong approach. The more flexibility you are with the date, the more options you'll have. If you're planning on having a ceremony at a religious institution, I would recommend getting their availability first so you know what the other options are before going to visit any other reception venues. All right, number three, style and size. Once you have an understanding of what your budget is for your venue, you should start thinking about the style of wedding you'd like. Are you a traditional ballroom style couple, or maybe you prefer something more urban or industrial? Barn weddings are obviously popular these days, as well as backyard tented receptions. Some couples prefer more of a historical venue, while others opt for a modern, newly constructed space. You can find pages and pages of venue options in your area, so narrowing down the style and space that you like can really help keep that from feeling too overwhelming. The size of the space is another very important factor to consider before scheduling appointments to tour the venues. After figuring out your budget, your next task should be working on your preliminary guest list. While you'll continue to make changes to your guest list, you'll need to have at least a general idea of how many people you'll be inviting prior to committing to a space. The general rule of thumb is that approximately 20% of those invited will not be able to attend. So make sure that the spaces that you're looking at can accommodate that number. Next up is location. Selecting a location can mean different things for different couples, but it's often a big factor when planning a wedding. The first decision that you should make is if you are looking for a location that holds the ceremony and reception at the same location, or if you're looking for two different spaces. If you have a church, temple, or other religious institution that will host the ceremony, then the decision is a little bit easier. If you'd like to have everything on site, make sure the potential venue offers ample space before booking. If you're looking to have an outdoor ceremony or reception, please make sure that you are okay with a backup plan in case it's raining. No matter what Google tells you about the history for weather on your chosen date, you can't control what Mother Nature gives you, so you want to make sure you're okay with that backup plan if needed. If you live in a different city or state than your family, you'll have to first decide where you'd like to have the wedding. Most couples will choose to get married in their hometown, but that's not always the obvious choice. You want to keep the ease of travel for your guests in mind when making this decision, but remember, it's your wedding. If you've been dreaming of a destination wedding or a city you live in now versus where you grew up, you can make it happen. You might get some pushback from family or shared opinions, but in my experience, they'll most likely come around to the idea when they see how happy it makes you. Another common struggle couples will have is deciding whether to have the wedding in the suburbs versus a bigger city. I'm based about 20 minutes outside of Detroit, and it's a common battle for many of our couples. They love the idea of having the wedding in the city, but might be pulled by the convenience of having things closer to home. Again, while you don't want to completely dismiss your guests' opinions, it's important that you make the decision based on what the two of you want your celebration to be. So all that being said, some couples don't have a strong pull one way or the other. And that's when opinions or guest experiences can really make the difference in what your final decision is. If you truly don't have a strong preference to a particular location, take the following into consideration when making your decision. One, will many of our guests need to make significant travel arrangements? I define this as over a two-hour car ride or flight, multiple nights in a hotel, or taking time off of work. Number two, are there several levels of hotel options close to the venue? Making sure to include safe and comfortable options at a lower price point for those that might be staying for multiple nights or not have it in their budget to splurge on a higher end property. Number three, is there convenient public transportation for those that will be traveling and might not have a car? Uber and Lyft are very convenient, but not readily available in all locations. If you choose a more remote area, make sure to include a larger portion of your budget than normal to secure transportation for your guests. And number four, are there local activities or attractions for the guests to do during their downtime from the wedding festivities? Let's move on to number five, pricing. I'm going to assume that everyone has followed the directions here and you've gotten a good grasp on your budget by this point. So let's talk a little bit about the pricing influences that can help you compare venues that are within your budget range. Here's a breakdown of the common costs associated with venue pricing. Food and beverage minimums. Most venues that offer in-house catering structure their fees based on food and beverage minimums. If you have a large enough guest count, this might be super easy to hit with the basic meal or bar option. If you have a smaller guest count, you might need to upgrade your options to make sure that you cover this amount. The main thing to keep in mind before agreeing to commit to the space is that this minimum is for food and beverage costs and typically does not include any room rentals, service and gratuity, taxes, or additional fees like AV or other rentals. Speaking of room rentals, that is the second main category that we'll see for venue pricing. Some venues will also have a rental fee for using the space, especially if they're not providing the catering. If you are using multiple spaces at the venue, make sure to clarify if they are all under one fee or if each room or space comes with a new charge. That's pretty common if you have the ceremony on site for there to be a ceremony rental as well as a reception rental fee. Number three, service charges and taxes. This is probably one of the most overlooked fees when it comes to venue and catering. It can have a huge impact on your overall budget. All venues and catering companies will charge you for tax, and most will have a service fee in there. Sometimes this is considered the gratuity, sometimes it's more of an administration fee, and the gratuity is separate. So I recommend that you have an upfront conversation with them about what is included in that service fee. Some will bundle it into the per person cost, but I will say that most will leave it outside as a separate item. In Michigan, the sales tax is 6%, which on its own isn't going to do too much damage to your budget. However, service fees are typically comparable to tipping at a restaurant, and I have seen them range from 18 to 28%. When you add sales tax to this, you're looking at an additional 24 to 32% added to your bill. The real kicker, though, This often does not go towards your food and beverage minimums. For example, if your food and beverage minimum is $10,000 and you have a required 20% service fee with a 6% tax, your real minimum that you're spending with them would be $12,600, plus any other fees like those room rental charges we discussed. It's not uncommon for couples to get that confused, thinking that $10,000 would be the minimum they spend, when you really add those details in, it could be closer to $3,000 more than that. The fourth thing to consider when it comes to pricing is inclusions. This essentially describes what you're getting for your room rental or per person cost. Most commonly, venues will include at least basic house, chairs, tables, linens, napkins, dance floor, and dinnerware. Make sure that you ask to see these items when you visit. If you don't like them and you opt to bring in rentals, this could add a significant chunk to your budget that you might not be prepared for. And number five, let's talk about some common additional charges. While some venues take an all-inclusive approach, many will have additional fees associated with various options. Here are some of the most common ones, but make sure to look through your venue packet or ask them if there are any additional charges that you may incur that are not listed. The use of an AV system, like a mic, speakers, or projector, cake cutting and service fees, coffee and tea stations, a champagne toast, menu tastings, additional bartenders, valet or parking costs, coat check with attendants, handing out welcome bags to guests at check-in, and overtime charges. And our final category here is talking about timing. Some venues reserve their space by the full day or even weekend, but most will give you a specific number of hours that you will have access to the space prior to your event. Most professional vendors are able to fully set up with a couple of hours, but if you have a very elaborate design or you're doing a lot of DIY decor, having a limited number of hours could be a deal breaker for that location. There's a local farmer's market here that hosts some really pretty weddings. It's an amazing space for a wedding ceremony and reception, but it's a functional market until 1:30 on Saturdays. The farmer's market vendors have an hour and a half to clear out, and then the vendors have access to begin setting up for the wedding at 3 p.m. The party also needs to end very promptly at 11, so most couples want to get the party started as early as possible. If the ceremony is at 5 p.m., that gives your vendors an hour and a half to bring in every table, chair, knife, fork, and floral centerpiece before the guests begin to arrive at 4:30. While it's definitely possible, you're most likely going to pay a premium for the companies to have enough staffing to make it happen, and you will be limited in what can be accomplished in that time. If you have a lot of items that you will need to personally set up, or you want to have an elaborate backdrop or ceiling treatments or lighting, it's not going to happen for a Saturday wedding at that location. You're better off finding another location that gives you more flexibility or choosing a different day of the week that the farmer's market isn't a functional market. Using the same venue as an example, they have a very tight time frame for teardown at the end of the night. The party must end at 11 p.m. and everything must be out by midnight. We typically give couples about 20 to 30 minutes to say their goodbyes before we start cleaning up. But in this space, we have to start the process before the party is even officially over, or else the couples are going to be charged some hefty overtime fees. Again, if you have a lot of things to set up and tear down for your wedding, a location like this is probably not going to be ideal for you. At the very least, you'll need to make sure to pad your budget to include staffing to help make it happen, and most likely to cover overtime charges if you go over that allotted time. Okay, there you have it. Those are my top six things you need to consider when searching for your perfect wedding venue. I would love to hear what some of your top priorities are. Head on over to the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook group and let us know what your thoughts are on the venue locations you're looking at. And if you found this episode helpful, I would absolutely love it if you could give a quick review. It would mean the world to me, and it would help other couples find the wedding planning tips they need. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.